Glory to God.
Amen. Good evening. Okay, sorry, a little nervous. Just real glad to be here. I wasn't able to come last year because my latest granddaughter was born actually exactly a year ago on Saturday. And so, you know, the Lord's been so good. I only had one daughter, but he's like multiplying the grandchildren and I'm loving it. And it is a blessing. And I do want to just publicly praise the Lord for how he took care of Lila, one of our grandchildren that was very ill, and it was a scary time, and God has just shown us so much through all of that, and we don't deserve it, but I'm just so grateful, and I just want to praise him publicly. If you want to turn to John chapter 4, just something I wanted to share that has been a I don't know, I've just kind of been like marinating in this chapter for a while, and just there's so much, but something that God just encouraged me with that I would like to just share with y'all. Just an interesting, two interesting things that I see in this chapter. Obviously it's the chapter where Jesus has the encounter with the woman from Samaria. And I see this as like an evangelistic encounter. Learn so much of how to deal with people that are lost from this section. But then I also see a second part where Jesus deals with the disciples in the midst of all that encounter with the Samaritan woman. And it's almost like a little mini mission conference where he's like trying to get them refocused. And so I want to kind of touch a little bit on both briefly. And what I saw in both of these instances is that Jesus used moments of true physical need to reveal some deeper spiritual conditions in both instances. And the first one, talking about the Samaritan woman, starting in verse 5, the physical need was obviously thirst and water. And verses 5 through 12, it says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" And here I see where the physical need is her focus, obviously. This is something that she struggles with, I'm sure, every day with this water pot and going out there. And she doesn't know who Jesus is, and she's just, he's telling her, hey, give me something to drink. And it was a real physical need for him as well, not just her. It says he was wearied, and he's telling her, hey, he basically like falls on the well, like, hey, give me a drink. And so it was a real need even for Jesus. But her focus was on, wait a minute, what are you talking about? First of all, what are you going to take the water out with? Second of all, it's a deep well. And then later on, when he mentions living water, she's like, yeah, yeah, give that to me so I don't have to come out here anymore. And so the physical need is her focus, obviously. But then Jesus, just the wise way that his approach to this woman, I just think that it's so many lessons I can learn from that. The way Jesus starts to reveal, okay, yeah, you're physically thirsty, tired of this job that you have to do every day, but there's something else that's not satisfied in you, and it's a spiritual need. And so that slow reveal of the spiritual solution to what she really needs starts to come about. In verse 13 through 19, it says, Jesus answered and saith unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Amen.
The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. And again, Jesus, in verse 10 that we already read, it's such an important verse that he reveals there, he kind of previews what he's going to need to show her. And I think it's so telling of when we're talking to people or witnessing to people, what is needed, most cases are these things. Number one, he said, if you knew who it was, that saith to thee, give me a drink. So she was going to need to know who Jesus is, who this person is she's talking to, what the gift of God is for her, that he has for her, what her real need really was, and that he had the solution, and then that God must be worshipped in spirit and truth, which we'll see later on, and that Jesus knew her. And here is where he starts kind of revealing that to her, that he's not just some guy that's thirsty, you know, and he's not just some crazy person talking about some living water. He knows her personally, and he starts to reveal that, and that sometimes is such an important part of evangelism. It can be an awkward part where you have to talk and maybe get personal with people. But if we continue there in verse 16, he says, Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And, you know, this is personal. This is getting down to even confrontational, where she could have just written him off. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is using all of this, just the wisdom that he has, and what an example to me, to patiently deal with her. Because she says, hey, give me that thing you're talking about. And so then he says in verse 15, okay, go call thy husband. Now why, if he already knew that that guy wasn't her husband, the one she was with now, why didn't he say, go call your partner, go call that dude you're living with, right? He says, go call thy husband. He's pushing it even further.
Yep.
And waiting to see it. And then he says, he acknowledges that, hey, you're telling me the truth. Thou sayest thou truly that he's not your husband. And so if we continue on, we just see that this slow reveal of the spiritual solution that Christ has for her. And verse 20, it says, our fathers worshipped, this is the woman speaking, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This was another hard thing that sometimes we need to say when we're talking to people, is that not all roads lead to Christ. Not all ways are going to, you know, get you there. And, well, that's good for you. This works for me. Hopefully we'll see each other up there. Jesus tells her here that God is a spirit. She wanted to worship God, obviously, but he's telling her, just so you know, you're not worshiping him correctly.
Right.
And he demands, this is an absolute. He demands that if you want to worship him, it has to be in spirit and in truth.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just slowly revealing these things to her.
Yeah.
And we can almost just see her eyes open.
Yeah.
And you're almost like, if it were like a movie or something, you're almost like the edge of the seat, like, don't walk away, don't leave, just stick around, you know? And she does, praise the Lord.
Amen.
She sticks around. And so then, if we continue on, verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this, came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And here, well, we see that she starts perceiving, recognizing, and admitting to her lifestyle, to her sin, and she starts seeing herself, okay, yeah, I'm tired of the water pot, you know, lugging it out there. I'm tired of everybody being thirsty and wanting me to give him a drink, but there is something deeper going on inside of me. And he's revealing it through all these, the husbands that she's had and her, insatisfaction that is in things that humans seek to fill that void. And so, she starts figuring it out. And now she starts to see who, the same thing that he told her at the beginning, if thou knewest who it was that's speaking to you, and she starts figuring that out, what her condition really is, and what that gift of God, something eternal, something that she'll never thirst again. She gets excited, we know the story, goes to the city, brings some people out. Well, it says from verses 39 to 42, we don't have to read it, but it says there that many believed on Christ by her testimony, and it says many more believed because they personally had one-on-one conversations and encounters with him, because he hung around there for a couple of days. Yeah. And wow, that's just an amazing thing, an amazing example to me of, you know, that evangelistic encounter that he had. He was weary. He was tired. He has physical needs himself. So did his disciples, but he saw this woman and he knew that, he had to take the time with her. And then I want to go to this next part. Speaking of the disciples, They're involved in this too in a roundabout way. They weren't there for that whole conversation that he had with her. They were, my son-in-law mentioned a little bit last night and I was like, man, but he started going down that road of, you know, about the, you know, what his meat and all that, which we're going to talk about right now. But, this part is just also blessed me because it's like, okay, it just revives you. At least me, it revives me to read that story of the Samaritan woman and to see how Jesus dealt with her. He was compassionate. He was patient. He was kind, all of those things, but he also had to be uncomfortable with her. But praise God, she was in a spot to where she was able to receive it. Jesus humbled her. But now that the disciples are kind of in the mix, they had gone into the city to get some meat. Obviously, again, this is the second physical need that I want to just mention, is the hunger, the meat. Now, the ones that had this need were the disciples, but also Jesus, obviously, and because they had been on a journey, and he was very weary. So this was, again, a true need for them and for Jesus, because in verse 6 it says, Jesus being wearied with his journey. In verse 8 it talks about the disciples going into the city to buy meat. And obviously it was their main focus at that moment, the disciples, right? So when they come back on the scene is around verse 26, and it's right at that critical, like, moment where, like, the music would swell in a movie, like, you know, where he says, I am he, I that speak unto thee am he, is like, oh, and she's like freaking out. And so right then the disciples show up in verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And that just kind of like struck me too. And I don't know why they marveled, but I know, well, number one, we know because even she marveled that he was talking to her, because she was a Samaritan woman and Jews didn't have any dealings with Samaritans. And boy, did he deal with her. He didn't just ask for water. He dealt with her soul. But the disciples are kind of like, what's going on? Why? But they don't dare ask. None of them dare say, you know, well, what are you doing talking to her? But the very next thing, once the lady leaves her water pot and takes off, this is interesting to me that in verse 31, this is what the first thing they say to him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him saying, Master, eat. And so, you know, they're seeing this conversation that he's having, and then this lady like leaves her water pot and she's taking off, and you would think that they would say, what were y'all talking about? You know, what was that all about? But they're like, oh, Master, please eat, because I'm sure they're hungry too. Like, they want to eat. Let's eat. Come on, it's time to eat, you know? And a little bit distracted, right? And it just just, it spoke to me too. I'm so much like that sometimes in the ministry. You know, somebody's dealing with someone and maybe they're not the perfect candidate, you know? You're thinking, oh, this guy isn't sincere. I can just tell. I'm a good reader of people, you know? John always brags about that. He says he can read people really well. I don't know about that. But I know that, sorry. but I'm like that as far as a bad attitude sometimes, you know, and maybe distracted, maybe a little bit clouded vision, because verse 33 is another impactful statement to me. Of verse 32, they tell him, hey, let's, you know, master eat. And in verse 32, this is Jesus' impactful statement that he makes. It's a real window into his motive, his reason. Like, you all don't understand. But he says, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Like, again, you know, you'd think that would be like, oh, okay, tell us about that, you know? But then their next response is, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him to eat? They're thinking, wait, who brought him food while we were gone? What's going on, you know? And it kind of reminded me of the other, I mean, I know, and I'm not trying to dog the disciples or whatever, but I just see myself so many times in that, in those type of situations where I'm just so focused on physical or carnal or my emotions or my weariness or whatever it is that I miss the forest for the trees. Do they say that still? But it says, they're asking, wait, who brought him food, right? And it reminded me of that time where they forgot to take bread, right? After the feedings of the 4,000 and all that and the 5,000 before that. And Jesus goes off and he's having discussions with the Pharisees and Sadducees and so they get there and Jesus says, you know, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, right? And they're like, oh man, he's upset because we forgot the bread, you know? And it's like, and here, like this kind of situation, and I just see myself so much in that. Sometimes unfocused, just not understanding, not putting in the effort or being of a willing heart to really understand what is God trying to show me through this? Yeah. But here, so that's the condition of the disciples. Their physical need was, you know, hunger and meat, which was true, they needed it. But their condition, I see, is a little bit distracted vision or a clouded vision. But once again, Jesus, the faithful master that he is, he comes and he reveals a spiritual perspective using that physical need that they actually had. And in verse 34, he defines what that meat is. He saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And wow, what a statement. Jesus is revealing to them, I see that this, what he was doing with that Samaritan woman, that is what feeds him. That is what nourishes him. Because somebody sent him, his father sent him to do that very thing. And he's trying to get them to, look, this is, you don't know it. Maybe you haven't experienced it yet, but it's coming. And then he says one of the most famous verses, right, in mission conferences and something that is so motivating in verse, 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. I can almost see him looking at like all the Samaritans maybe making their way out to him, you know? And he's like, look, you know, it's not just one woman. Do you know the ripple effect that this can cause? And I mean, just like Brother Mike was speaking right now about the families in Mexico and the children and the grandchildren, and what a blessing. I mean, one woman, and look at how that turned upside down that city, right? And so Jesus tries to refocus their vision to his perspective so that they too could be fed by this. Lift up your eyes. And it's personal. He's like, lift up your eyes. You, look. Lift your eyes, look. And then, hey, here's an opportunity to participate. It's ready to harvest. Are you ready to be part of that? And so I'm just thankful that the disciples, they did eventually also come to eat of that meat. Because Jesus, when he ascended up to his Father, they were entrusted to carry on the will and the work of his Father. And they did it faithfully. And that's why we have his word. That's why we have so many amazing examples. And that sender, the Father, is still sending people. and still entrust that gospel to us. And I just pray the Lord will help me and use these instances that I saw to not only spark again that flame of like what a joy it is to see a soul go through that process of the gospel being revealed to them, but also that I would just focus all the time on the field, not on the things around the physical needs, but on the field, and fix my eyes on the field of thirsty souls, because praise the Lord, there are still thirsty souls out there.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.